not nearly as well known as, not even I think. I don't think I'm that
Helping
known.
to spread the word.
But to our tens of fans, we are a big, big deal.
That's right. That's right.
How's it going, Brian?
Yeah, going pretty good. I guess like we talked about the last several casts, so to speak, we're getting warmed up for the season. Things are starting to
Yeah,
come in.
how have you been enjoying the off season?
I can't wait to find it.
It doesn't ever stop.
Well, you know, I do have a lot of friends that look at kind of what I do, and they're like, "Wait a minute, you travel around, you ride your bike, you hang out with great people." And I'm like, "Yeah, I kind of do that. That's part of the job." So, yeah, it's actually been good,
Yeah,
busy but good.
excellent.
Yep.
Cool. Well, this is the beginning of season eight, and you've been calling it the season of adventure, which for those who've been around, that harkens back to the dark pandemic times of no races in the NCICL. So I prefer to think of it as the choose your own adventure season.
I think sold. Yeah, I think what Todd bring that up the other night too. It's like, you know, so I probably said it again. Season of Adventure. He's like, "Ooh, yeah,
Yeah.
that was a different year for the league." I'm like, "Oh yeah." So yeah,
Yep.
choose your own adventure, which fits right in. You know, I think we'll
Yeah.
talk about that as we go through the season. But you know, challenge by choice, the you know programmatic approach to the adventure program. Yeah, it's choose your own adventure. A lot of things you
Yeah.
do on your bike, so we'll explore some of those things this season. It'll be pretty cool.
Awesome. Kind of to kick it off, let's just sort of, I guess, in my wheelhouse, talk about coach training and just give a little update of that. We are closing in on our final two sessions for the WFA CPR course and the OTBS 101. We are sold out for the upcoming Raleigh Durham, which is the second weekend in Raleigh Durham. And we are sold out for the last weekend in Fayetteville. I think this model has worked really well. People seem to really appreciate the fact that to go from level one to level two requires this kind of one weekend to knock out their WFA CPR AED training and then their OTBS 101 training. And that's your two big hurdles to get from level one really to level three. Like at that point, you're really set up to become a level three coach, if you so choose, but you're definitely a highly qualified level two. What are your thoughts on how that's gone this season?
Yeah, I think that is some of the feedback we're getting, and I continue to appreciate you allowing me to be a coach supporter in my own league. It's all super cool, Sean. But yeah, I've done most of the trainings except for this one. You know, again, not coaching.
You're a
Uh,
student in this one,
one,
though. I
no, that's Fayetteville. I get to,
Oh.
yeah. Oh, but let me talk about that, right? Because I think,
Okay.
like with anything, part of the reason I enjoy being part of it is we do get the feedback. You know, you and me and other, like, "Hey, how's it going? What do you think?" And overall positive. I would tell the folks here, we're still open to feedback on how this new model we did this season is working for you. You spread them out. I think that gave more option for people to attend, and that was some positive feedback. Because I am in that Fayetteville class, and I am still going through my online WFA training. It is a lot. There's a lot of things in there. Give us some feedback. We'll pass it on to Solo. But yeah, I think overall it's been pretty good. And like you said, 32 in the course this with that 32 level twos is kind of in our mind coming out of this next weekend for the
And
Raleigh team. So I think it's
to be
good.
fair, we're doing 12 seats in WFA. They're specifically for people to recert. So these are existing level two, level three coaches that need to recertify their WFA CPR. And then we are doing 20 seats that are combined WFA CPR and OTBS 101 for those level one coaches that don't have first aid and don't have OTBS 101. So what we saw in the past was we would say we're doing first aid and we're also doing OTBS 101. Please sign up for both. and lots of coaches would sign up for OTBS 101 and then they would never get first aid. And so our efforts at getting people to shift from level one to level two were thwarted because we were doing our part, the OTBS 101 part, but we couldn't get past that first aid hurdle. And so what we've worked to do is get a low cost WFA CPR combo that's hybrid. And that was really important so that it wasn't blowing a weekend plus still having to do OTBS 101. So a single in-person day to complete the WFA CPR AED certification. And then the next morning to early afternoon is all you need to do for the OTBS 101. And one of the things that I've done is those coaches that had first aid, I just asked them to, you know, make sure that that was current in the pit zone. And once that was checked off in pit zone, I would send them a special link just to register for OTBS 101. So anyone that already had first aid and just needed OTBS 101, we took care of them in addition to the 20 that we were keeping in that WFA CPR OTBS 101 section. And that way we could sort of maximize our potential. But one of the things that we are really sort of trying to shift towards is this idea of WFA being sort of the de facto first aid. And it's always been my concern that I go to these large urban areas, especially like the Triangle and Charlotte, and you start looking at where people are practicing and you're pushing the boundary of that 1 hour to definitive care. There's a couple of places where I'm like, there's no way we're within 1 hour of a hospital at this place. And yet we're fairly close to a city. So it's reasonable for these teams to be practicing there. And so we wanted to shift that emphasis to WFA, but part of that is getting WFA to not be $400 because that's how much it is from any provider. And so working with Solo Southeast, we've been able to kind of really come up with, I think, a beneficial hybrid system with lower cost that we were able to provide for our coaches and pass that on directly to them. And one of the things that, you know, you worked on the budget, you were able to, you know, subsidize that cost so that the money that anyone paid for the WFA CPR AED training, that's money that we directly shifted over to Solo Southeast. That was their seat payment. But then there were ancillary costs that the league covered. So to be clear with everyone, we make no money off of the first aid training in the least. We actually pay money to train everyone. And that's why we feel like we're putting our money where our mouth is to make sure that people understand how important this is. And that's what we wanted to do. And I appreciate your help with that.
Yeah. And that includes the 101 clinic. I think I've shared with my clinics, that cost covers your booklet and that cost covers the travel for our coach supporters to get there and do the training. So yeah, we are trying to keep it as low cost as possible, but because I miss you all so much, I will in fact be in Raleigh this weekend. I just posted on the coach's Facebook page, Social Crank Arm Brewing Saturday night on the 16th, 7 p.m. If you're in town and there, come on out, have a chat. I'll have some of our new league brochures to hand out. You know, Michelle Frost put those together, a nice recruiting tool. Yeah, if you got the opportunity, come on out and yeah, say hi.
Awesome. Well, enough about the closing of coach training season. Let's talk about what's coming up right after Fayetteville.
Yeah, and it's kind of a nice segue. It's a way to kind of close the coach training season. That's our league summit out in Charlotte, 7-8 October at the Whitewater Center. I was just on the line with the event coordinator there this morning. They are very happy to have us there. They're looking forward to a great event. And we are already at, I think, 30 registrants, which is what we had last season, if you remember. We did it late, wasn't the best time to do it. So the idea here is close out the coach training season with some specialized training at our league summit that you will not get at the online leader summit. These are not the same things. This is specific to North Carolina. And what I like about these events, it's an opportunity for folks from across the state to come together and share ideas and get reconnected and talk about the season. And there will be part of that. I will give everyone a review of last season. Here's how things went, so to speak, and then give everyone a preview of 2024 with fingers crossed dates and locations and an idea of what the season is going to look like. And really kind of the cool part, you get to hang out and go on some rides with folks in the afternoons there at the center. So again, they're very happy to have us. Probably proof point number one of that is they are allowing us to camp on site. So everyone that's got the registration information, there's a link for camping, $10 tent, $20 RV, right there on the center, walking distance to their restrooms, a little further walk to showers on the facility, open 24 hours. That's a real nice benefit for us. And they are very appreciative of what we're doing in terms of getting kids outdoors and the recreation things we do. So looking forward to it. I guess the message is plenty of space still for our coaches to sign up, and please do. I have to put the meal order in next week. Make sure we got enough food for everyone. We're giving you breakfast and lunch for the price of your admission.
And I think it's really important for people to realize that, you know, the first couple of summits that were held in this league, they were leader summits. And if we do a leader summit, it's a very prescribed curriculum from NICA that we run through, and they're all the same. Like if we were just doing leader summits, last year's would be the same as this year's would be the same as 3 years ago. But because NICA is now doing those online and throughout the year, it frees us up to do a league summit with unique content that we develop, that we listen to feedback from coaches and take to heart kind of what they need, and then figure out how to present that to everyone and make it worth their while to come. So I've had a couple of coaches reach out to me and kind of like, is this something I should do? I'm a new coach. By all means, like even if you're a brand new level two coach, like this will be an opportunity for you to talk with other experienced coaches, for you to just kind of see and ask us questions so that you can get a better sense of how things run in our league, what our league culture is like, and how you can best serve your student athletes.
Yeah, and to tie into the Wilderness First Aid training, we've got our Chief Course Marshal, Brian Wood, giving a class on EAPs, emergency action plans, how to fill one out, how to evaluate a venue. Does everyone realize there's a new EAP form from NICA? Do you have the latest, and are you filling that out? We'll show you where to find the EAPs on our website, those type of things. And a couple other things, too. You mentioned specialized training. I know you're doing a OTBS 201 clinic Sunday afternoon. That's good, great opportunity for folks. But you're also doing a one-on-one refresher Saturday afternoon, you know, bust the rust, so to speak, of some of those skills. It might have been a while even for our veteran coaches to do that.
And I want to kind of address that too, because I think if you're like me and my OTBS 101 was literally the first year of this league. And if you haven't done OTBS 101 in say the past three seasons, then there's some stuff that we do in North Carolina that as part of OTBS 101 that is not done anywhere else in the country. And that's something that I kind of want to introduce you to. So there's a few things that will definitely help your student athletes. And they are skills that you don't have unless you've taken OTBS 201 for some of them. But realistically, like we'll be pretty quick. I'm not going to run you back through the entire OTBS 101 curriculum unless you have a specific question about something. But I want you to see sort of these other skills that we now teach as part of OTBS 101, because they're really, 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 I think, crucial for dealing with beginner student athletes. And that's why we ask NICA to give us permission to teach them as part of OTBS 101. And part of what allows us to do that now is because we team teach. Anytime you do an OTBS 101 in the past 2 to 3 seasons, you have two instructors, and we're sort of like, when one wraps up, the next one steps up and is ready to go and rolling. So there's no downtime. We're not switching gears or anything like that. It's just seamless and we just keep it moving. So really, 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 really encourage you, like if you're an older coach in the league, like come check out the OTBS 101 refresher. I guarantee you I will be able to show you some things that you weren't aware of previously. And then those of you who've asked about OTBS 201, we will be doing an OTBS 201. I do want to stress that OTBS 201 is strictly for CEUs. It is not a requirement for level three. There's no hidden level four coach that like will unlock as a badge in your pit zone by doing OTBS 201. If you're level three already, like you'll just be a level three with OTBS 201 at the end of that. So, but by all means, come and do that. It's really a different curriculum. It's not quite so focused on skills. It really is a more of like how to advance skills and progress them. So just two plugs for those two sessions.
Yeah. And in case anyone's worried about missing the group rides while you're doing that 101 refresh, you're going to take your group out on the trails right after you're done, or they can turn and go hit the trails too. So plenty of opportunities for riding. Bill Stevens on Sunday afternoon is going to give a course evaluation clinic out on the trail. How do the course setters evaluate a trail and a course to set it up for one of our races? I think coaches would be really interested in understanding that and how we do it. And I'll just, let's put a plug in for a lot of our sponsors. They're providing some swag for all of our attendees to get. So you'll get a nice little bag of stuff showing up. Trek's actually going to be on site, do some demo bikes. So while we're doing the group ride Saturday, if you want to check out something from Trek, high-end or e-bike, then yeah, you have the opportunity to do that. So shaping up a pretty nice session.
I would be careful demoing an e-bike, because once you do the e-bike, you're like, ooh, where has this been all of my life? So,
and that's probably why Trek is bringing them. But we love Trek. It's all good. Great sponsor for us.
All right. Let's kind of roll into what's getting ready to happen. So right now, Friday, so we're taping this Thursday. So tomorrow, Pit Zone is going to open up for team and coach registration. And I really relish this opportunity to kind of like tell people some do's and don'ts of Pit Zone. Because there's always like, my least favorite email to see is the email that says, I think I may have done something wrong. Because the answer is, if you think you've done something wrong, the answer is that you probably have done something wrong. So, let's try to prevent that. First things first. If you have a coach that is no longer participating with your team and is no longer going to be a part of the North Carolina Interscholastic Cycling League in any way, shape, or form, then they need to be deactivated. If you have somebody who has maybe been inactive for a while and they're ready to come back to your team and they previously coached, I need to get an email so that I can reactivate them, not you send them a new invitation. The reason being is that their licensure kind of stays in limbo. And when they reactivate, they can kind of go back and pick up where they left off. So it gives them the opportunity to not start from ground zero if they were a brand new coach profile. The other thing is, you know, I really, really, really encourage you to go in, and I see some teams and they've got like 50 coaches. And I know that there's not 50 active coaches. There's like maybe 20 that are active and 30 that are inactive. Clean your pit zone up, do some hygiene, like get rid of all that stuff. And the same thing goes with your student athletes. So when we start opening up to student athlete registration, kind of the do's and don'ts there are no longer participating in the league, they need to be deactivated. If they need to move schools, then you got to drop myself an email and I can move them for you, because we don't want to lose their rider data. If we send new invitations to people that already exist in our system, it sees it as two people who happen to have the same name, and we don't want that. We want all that data captured. So those are the things that for Pit Zone do's and don'ts. If you can kind of adhere to those simple things, and if you have a question asking me before you do something rather than after you do something, always the best thing. I'm more than happy to tell you, like, yeah, if you'll do it this way, it'll be great. The last thing on that, if you're moving head coaches, team directors, designated reporters, those roles, your team director has the ability to edit those in Pit Zone. And so they just go and click on the coach's license, click on edit roles, and they can choose who the head coach is going to be, who the team director is going to be, and who the designated reporter are. If someone is stepping up to be head coach and someone else is stepping down, you have to move the new head coach into the role, and then you have to take the old head coach and you have to move them out. So you have to edit both roles. The one mistake that you can make is the mistake that I made. When you are making a new person the team director of a team, if you deactivate yourself as the team director first, you lose all ability to make any changes after that. So if you are stepping down as the team director, that's the last move you make in that game. Okay. So take it from me. It's a sad day when you have to email the league director and say, can you please reinstate me as a team director of this team so that I can do the changes that I need to make? Don't go where I have already gone. And then last but not least, you all got links to forms in the coaches conversation email. And one of those is the team proposal form. We need a team proposal form for every team from the head coach. So the head coach is the person who fills that out. And then there's a preseason activity approval form. And we need, again, the head coach or the team director to be the one that fills that out for the team. And we've tried to make the preseason approval form to where you don't have to do like have all six planned. You get up to six preseason events. So you can go in and just do one and then go back and do another one. We're fine with that. You don't have to have your calendar set in stone right now. So those are the do's and don'ts of what's happening starting Friday.
And I do appreciate everyone's attention to both of those forms. I'll tell you, the team proposals are on my mind as we continue to evaluate where we're postured across the state of North Carolina. So everyone's geographic boundaries, the schools they're covering, as I consider league growth and where I need to pay some attention to continue that growth, understanding where teams are currently is super, super helpful, even down to updating our team map on our website and making sure that information is current. That's what that information is used for. So thank you everyone for giving that a little bit of attention early on in the season.
All right. And I think you've got some good news to announce.
Yeah, I've got, I'll say a lot of good news. So probably the next several podcasts we do, Sean, we'll make some sponsorship announcements. That's part of that off-season work we've been doing, is just engaging with current sponsors, seeing if they want to continue to partner for the next year, and even getting some new sponsors. So that's the announcement for today. And I think it fits really well with, you know, team directors and head coaches thinking about forming the team, is Podiumware is now a league sponsor. Podiumware has sponsored at the national level for many, many years. They have stopped that relationship and are now engaging directly with all the state leagues. So had a conversation with them over the summer. They are going to continue to provide the manner of support they have for this league before, and that is typically our leaders' jerseys. They give the league a credit so we can produce those pretty cool-looking leaders' jerseys. And I suspect we'll have that as a great reveal later on the preseason, what this season's design looks like. So thank you for Podiumware, for one, sponsoring the league and continue to provide that jersey support. But if you go to our website tomorrow, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, the new website, you will see right in the coaches resource page, a big banner that has links to Podiumware. You click on that Podiumware link, it will email you directly to Hannah Brown, our rep in Podiumware. And you can start talking about getting jerseys, whether that's a refresh if you're already working with them, or part of that good news we'll start sharing, Sean, is we've heard from about three or four new teams that you've been helping to get stood up. So, you know, new teams, reach out to Podiumware. They're a great apparel manufacturer, and we do appreciate their support.
100%. That's been the go-to jersey supplier for all the teams that I've been involved in and had nothing but great experiences with them. We've got some preseason dates that are coming up. Shell Frost, our programs director, is very busy. Sometimes I think my summer is busy, and then I think about all the things she's doing, and yeah, she's super busy. She has two grit preseason events that are coming up. The first is going to be October 28th, and that one will be in Wilkesboro at Kiowee Park. And the second one is November 4th at Medoc Mountain State Park, which is in Hollister, North Carolina. That's going to be open to all registered female student athletes and coaches. The second thing she's been working on has been adventure, and she's been working with her adventure staff. She now has a staff that is doing a lot of great work, and they've come up with some really cool stuff. I think that's going to be a really exciting thing to see. And I know that at the League Summit, she's going to be debuting a lot of that stuff that the Venture Crew has been working on. But they're going to have two preseason events, and these preseason events are going to be open to only returning student athletes. There's a form that I linked to in the coaches conversation that has more information about it, but they have to be returning student athletes. There is an exception to that that's in the coaches conversation and in the form that's linked there that can be done, but it's very, very specific. And the reason being is that this is not something we want a kid showing up for their first ever Nike experience. Like, no one knows anything about them, how they ride, what they do. And the other is that, you know, a parent's perception of a child's riding is not the same as your firsthand experience of seeing them ride. So I've had student athletes on teams that I've been involved with, and that the parents were like, oh yeah, they ride their bike all the time. And then you kind of see the child, and then you start to dig a little deeper, and you realize, like, oh, riding means on their street. Like, that's really not experience with riding. That's not an experienced rider, even though they're like, oh yeah, they're good. They're have tons of experience. So we want to be careful with that. But the dates on those are November 18th at the Whitewater Center in Charlotte and December 2nd at Browns Creek in Elizabethtown. So try to set those in two geographically distinct regions, just like with the grid events, so that people could pick the one that was closest to them to participate in.
Yeah, and how this all threads together with some of our previous conversation is, even on the last podcast, we said student athlete registration opens up on 1 October. And that's unique among spring leagues. We asked for that as North Carolina. Most spring leagues are 15 October, but it's to give our folks some time to get registered and get registered for those preseason events we set up. And just like you mentioned, preseason event forms for those adventure events, that's a team event. So please put that on your preseason approval form, get that into us. It counts as one of your six. And just like you mentioned, Shell has a form for those teams that want to attend. So she knows who's coming, how many, and we can properly plan for them there. So that's why we're getting this word out as early as possible about those events.
Yeah. And I think it's really key on that point to mention that student athlete registration opens October 1, but the preseason still starts October 15. So it's 2 weeks of sort of getting student athletes registered before we have any team activities at all. So I like that, because it always seemed weird that, like, preseason started, now you're involved in getting student athletes registered, trying to do events. You got this condensed time because it's November 30 is your cutoff. So this 2 week period of, like, getting them registered, getting them in, making sure everybody's good to go before you ever start your preseason events, I think is a really good thing. And we've got one other event that I think you probably have the most knowledge of to speak to.
Yeah, first ever NICA regional event, 10 to 12 November up in Fairhill, Maryland. 11 state leagues are being invited, and I have heard from several coaches and a lot of student athletes that are going to register for that event and make that trek up to Maryland. Essentially, Friday, it's a holiday for a lot of folks. That Friday is an adventure day, of course, pre-ride. Saturday is the race day. Shaping up to be a pretty fun event. Just want to put the reminder out here. That registration for that will close 17 October. And again, not ideal for spring leagues, right? We're just getting warmed up, and not everyone's kind of in the groove of registering for things and preparing for things. So just want to get the word out. If you're interested in going, 17 October is your deadline. And I'm tracking the registration, so I know who will be up there. Yours truly will be up there. And we'll try and recruit maybe a couple other staff members to go up there and make sure our folks are supported. But they've got a really good plan. I dial in every week through the planning session up there. Should be a lot of fun seeing, athletes, coaches from across all of those 11 leagues. So just a reminder, 17 October, that's going to come up pretty quick for registration deadline.
Awesome. And I would be remiss if I didn't share how excited you are when you talk to us about the new website. Like you are just like so ready for this thing to launch.
It almost makes me wave my hands even more than I do on a podcast.
It is so much jazz hands.
And I've been talking about it for a while. I've been working on it all summer. And so just like you said, recording Thursday night, 15 September Friday, this podcast will likely drop, and we will go live with our new website on Friday, 15 September, barring any major disaster tomorrow. In my last call with Tony at National, thank you, Tony, for helping reconfigure this website. But a couple things about it. One, you can see it on your mobile device. Yay. You can use it on your mobile device. Yay.
The buttons actually work. You can actually click things. Yes.
Yeah. Like, you know, fingers crossed, everything works tomorrow. But yeah, I think people will be pretty pleased with what they see on there. And let me give a shout out to some of the folks that do some great work in this league. So we've refreshed the site with a lot of 2023 pictures. So thanks, Deb, wonderful photographer for leagues. Just captures the magic really, really well. And you'll see that all over our pages. And then Kyle, who produced that wonderful season ending video for us for 2023. That is the rolling kind of banner on the homepage. Like, you'll just see that video scrolling and kids on trails and in the adventure area and the food trucks. And he captured the magic of one of our events just really, really well. So I think it's people will be excited to see it just because it looks really good. It works really well and the like. I think a couple of things to pay attention for, because now it is a good, useful information platform for us, you know, in advance of that one October registration date. So pay attention over the next couple of weeks. I will post the season fees for the season on there and registration information, you know, how to get connected, how to get to Pit Zone and do registration. And then for coaches, heads up, Sean, you and I were on the line with Phil Watson today doing some good data analysis for us on our category placement tables. We are changing the categories. We talked that a couple of casts ago. We've got some new categories for the season. So that table will be on the website. The category placement table will be on the website. And so coaches will want to look at that before 1 October. So as their student athletes register, they know what categories they're going into initially. So yeah, be on the lookout for all that on the website before 1 October. And like I said, it'll probably be a lot easier for folks to find, just a lot more user-friendly website.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great. But to speak more about that category table and the work that's gone into that, like, we really took a lot of feedback from what we've all heard from coaches and student athletes to really consider like how we work those categories out to the best that we can to make for, I like to think of it as like really equitable racing. Like, everyone feels competitive in their category to the best of their ability, kind of thing.
Yep. That's exactly right. And as always, we'll be open to feedback, right? We'll, you know, probably have some category petitions through the season, just like we always do. And that's fine. Help us evaluate that as we do this new one for the season.
As noted, 20th century philosopher Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until you punch them in the face. And so, you know, this is the best that we were able to do with what we had coming in. And we fully expect that there will be needs for tweaks and changes as we get through the season with it and figure out what works and what doesn't. So I think a great step in the right direction is what I like to think of.
Yeah. And, you know, just a great segue into, I was thinking about all this website and computer development. You talk about punches to the face. Well, what does a hard drive do when it gets into a fight?
I don't know.
It asks for a backup. Sorry. It was just too perfect to segue into my dad joke.
Oh my gosh. You
know, if there's one thing that Tony trained me through all this website development, is like, hit that save button. Like, every time you can update, just save, save, save.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way with iterable. Like, I was like doing something in iterable, and then I like I was like, oh, let me go check on this thing. And I like just clicked back. And then right as I did it, I was like, oh, I didn't hit save. And so all of my work was gone. So yeah. Yeah. I get too spoiled in Google land and the world of autosave every microsecond. Well, I mean, since you busted the door down on the dad jokes with that one, I'm going old school with mine. So, where do pirates buy hooks?
Oh gosh.
At the secondhand store.
Yep. There you go.
So good. Yeah, I had to go traditional. I have no setup for that one. So
that was all good. We know that's what people are waiting for. Yeah. You know, forms and
it's like 40 minutes of like blah 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 blah. I'm waiting for the dad jokes.
I should I say it? It's almost like watching some online videos that, you know, 1x5 speed, people are just like 1x5 speed, not Sean to get the
well. And so for those who have listened to this point, the pro tip on getting through your videos for the WFA is if you watch them at 1.5 speed, they're still perfectly understandable. They're not even that chipmunky, and you get through the video much faster than you would if you just sat it and watched it at regular speed. So
yes, indeed. Right.
So that's your pro tip for making it to the end of the podcast. And on that, we're going to say, have a great one.
All right. Hope to see folks in Raleigh or at the League Summit. See you, everyone.
See ya.